we get things underway this afternoon by welcoming back to the program. We actually had a chance to catch up with her earlier today, a frequent visitor to downtown, comedian Paula Poundstone. Hey, Paula, how are you today?
Hey, Rich, good enough. How about you?
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty good assessment right there in these weird times we're living in. But at least you've got distractions. I have to ask him, how about that Moby Dick? That's quite a page-turner.
Oh, boy. You know, I got to say, Rich, I think it's a little overrated. I mean, I realize that I may not be taking it in on all the levels that it is supposed to be speaking to me on, but I don't know. I'm not sure he wasn't paid by the word.
Yeah, for anybody who doesn't know, it's a part of the book club that you've got as a part of the podcast. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. I enjoyed the efficiency expert you had on recently. How has it made you more efficient around the house?
No, I wish I could say that it had. I can't. You know what's awful? I go to the trouble of reiterating in a little piece after the guest, you know, sort of sometimes reiterating what they say, or you know, make in a humorous way, hopefully making conclusions about what they say. And sometimes I still just can't remember. And we've had memory experts on before. it's weird to say I have a podcast because everyone knows that you have a podcast, because having a podcast, not eating our young, and breathing oxygen are three of the things that make us human at this point. Every human has a podcast. But mine is, we have experts on different topics and sort of characters on the show itself. And it's called Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. And the people who, when I was on the road, people used to come up to me at meet and greets in theaters and say, oh, you know, I listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. And then they would hesitate for a second and they go, well, I guess that makes me nobody. And so the listeners started calling themselves nobodies. And as I always say, nobodies are somebodies to us. It's fun. There's a clubhouse feeling to it.
Absolutely, it was great.
Anyway, we started a book club. And we started with the book Moby Dick.
Just a little light reading.
Yeah, it's actually, I have to say, there are things about it that do speak to the present day, which was really surprising to me. Especially if you're a whale.
See, do you think Adam's really reading it, or is he using the Cliff Notes?
Oh no, I think Adam is reading it. I didn't think that I would ever get through it, and then what I did was I listened. I got an unabridged audio recording of it, and I couldn't stop listening. I carried it with me on my phone while I did my chores, and I listened and I listened and I listened, and I finished it in a week and a half. Adam still doesn't believe me, but I did. And now as we discuss the chapters, I flip back. Part of my goal was to get Jon Favreau from Pod Save America, because I listen to a lot of podcasts, because they have a lot of chores to do. And Jon Favreau from Pod Save America had said his 2020 New Year's resolutions, or at the end of 2019, he had said that he really wanted to read more. And so I thought, well, this will give, if Jon Favreau joins our book club, it'll give him the chance to read more. Well, he doesn't get back to me.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the thing. Because he didn't put that on his 2020 New Year's resolutions list, which is get back to Paula Poundstone.
I think everybody should have that on their list. It was great to hear you back on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me this weekend.
Oh, it was fun. Can you hear my dog whining?
Yes, I can.
Oh, with the dogs and the whining. Oh, it was fun to be back on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me this weekend. You know, one of the effects of the pandemic is that it's hard not to know a lot of the answers. You know, I'll tell you, there's two ways that you lose in the contest. And by the way, I always like the opportunity to clear up a misconception, which is, yes, I'm trying to win. A lot of people think I throw the match intentionally. No, I'm very competitive. I just often don't know the answers. But the other thing is, sometimes you just plain choke.
Sure.
You know, sometimes, like, I can know the answers on someone else's turn, and then it's my turn, and I don't know the answers. But the other thing is, I may know the real news stories of the day, but what really trips you up in that final lightning round of answering questions about the news is the news of the weird.
Mm.
You know, and I kind of feel proud of not knowing the news of the weird. Do I really need to know that someone in Florida, you know, smuggled lemurs by shoving them down their pants? I don't. I'm comfortable with a life that doesn't know that.
Now, Tom Baudet told us, though, a while back that you know an awful lot, maybe not all the answers, but more than most people. But if you got a chance to come up with a funny response, you might opt for that rather than the correct answer.
Sometimes I suppose that's true. Certainly it was true on tests in high school.
How did that work out?
Well, I'll tell you this. On your SATs, you know how everyone's always wanted to know what happens if you answer all Bs?
Can
tell you. You don't do that well. I was in and out pretty quick, but you know, the ultimate product wasn't as strong as one might have hoped. Years ago, I had a job in Vermont, and in fact, with Tom, and he kindly invited me to stay at his house because that's where he lives. Tom Baudet lives in Vermont, and I had my son with me, who was a teenager at the time, and so we'd go, we'd do the show, we'd come back, and now. My son and I are on California time. We're wide awake, but the Baudets hit the hay after a little while, and they, you know, they've obviously given us, you know, rooms to stay in. It was very sweet of them. And my son comes in with me to watch on my mini DVD player or something before he goes to bed, and so we watch something, and now it's. We figure, okay, we're going to go to bed now. And we can't find the lights. We can't find the switches to the lights. And we're like looking on the walls and looking in the hallway and looking. We can't find the switches to the lights. So we slept with the lights on at Tom Baudet's house.
That's perfect.
Isn't that great? I'm my guess is it was a setup.
We're talking with Paula Poundstone here on Downtown. Well, you've been keeping very busy and doing a lot of things to stay in touch with the fans. I love the videos that you've posted. I'm not sure who is more fascinated with your workouts, the dog or the cats.
Oh, you know, having animals involved in your workout, I think really helps.
Clearly.
Well, you know, I started at the beginning of the I always say at the beginning of the pandemic, and then I go, no, at the beginning of when we were told there was a pandemic, I thought, oh, you know, it's, boy, going to have to tighten my belt. Going to be a couple of weeks off the road, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and obviously that prognosis grew and grew. So I started working out to videos online. Because I couldn't go do the workouts that I used to do. And, you know, it's these really fit blonde women with fake beach backgrounds. And they're very good at what they do. But I thought, you know, who wants to work out with these people? not me. And really bad music, I might add. Painfully bad music.
Definitely.
And so I started, I haven't done one in a little while, I need to do another, but I started making my own workout videos where I say to people right from the beginning, I go, look, I'm not an expert, so if you feel like you're going to pull something or do something, you know, then don't do it. But here's some things that I learned from watching the blonde people and the very fit blonde people. And then and I would have, I would have animals all around me. I had a cat that was blind for a while, and she would just walk precariously near any kind of jumping exercise. You know, and that's good for the abs because you get that tension. Oh, I'm going to crush a cat. Oh, I'm going to crush a cat.
Now, is Ms. Nancy based on a real person in your educational past?
She is. She is. She's Miss Murphy.
Oh, my.
Who was my second grade teacher. Miss Nancy is Miss Murphy. And somebody that I grew up with, because Miss Nancy is a teacher from Fairbanks Elementary School in Sudbury, Massachusetts. And she was forced, obviously, to teach online. And it's been an adjustment for her. In the beginning, she didn't think that it was going to last that long either. And so one of her things was just every day was pajama day. And it was a big surprise every time. Guess what? It's pajama day again. And so Miss Nancy comes out in a robe, and she's eating her toast, and she does the lessons with the kids. And Russell, who's one of her students, was obviously a handful in the classroom. And it's not much better via Zoom. And so somebody from my actual hometown wrote to me on, emailed me and said, made a guess that about who Russell was. You know, they thought it was someone that we had gone to school with. And I said, no, Russell was me. I was a terrible student.
You're right, though.
I didn't.
I teach high school, and we're in session, but we've had stretches where we've had to go remote for a little while, and the Zoom classes, it just, whatever you are in a real classroom setting becomes even more exaggerated in those online sessions.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I feel so bad for both the teachers and the students now. You know, they're going to be kids that are, you know, were so young when all this began that, you know, that they think that people are just flat. it's going to take a while to come out of it, but we will.
But you're doing things at least. All those people who I envied who have learned a new language, have finished their novel during the pandemic, and, you know, all I've done is watch old movies on TCM.
Well, that's not such a bad thing.
It's enjoyable. I don't know that it's made me the better person that I hoped I would be, but I may be too late for that anyway.
I had cause to watch. I don't generally watch movies, honestly, because I am so busy, and by the time I stop, I can't watch a whole anything, or I'll fall asleep, and then that kind of wrecks it. But I did have cause to watch in one day Life of Brian and The Meaning of Life.
Well, that's time well spent right there.
I mean, I love them, which is why I have them. I watch them, by the way, on videotape on my VHS copy that I bought at Tower Records 1,000 years ago. I you know what? There's not a moment in either of those films where it's not funny.
No, that's great.
I mean, just it's amazingly funny. And I knew that. I just hadn't watched them in so long. It was such a joyous experience. So I highly recommend that to anybody who hasn't. And then I guess I follow Eric Idle on Twitter, and he wrote this lovely thing about his wife. He posted one day.
Yeah, you had quite an exchange, the two of you. We enjoyed that. We talked about that on the air.
He doesn't know me from Adam, but he had written this lovely thing. It was the anniversary of the day he had met his wife, or the night he had met his wife. He said he met her at an SNL after party, and he said to her, "I will never leave you." And he said, "So far, so good." It was a really beautiful thing to write. And so I wrote, not because I knew him, but just because I wrote, "Oh, well, then I guess I shouldn't bother sending these nude photos." And he wrote back and said, "Yes, bother."
See, we saw that and assumed that you were old friends from that exchange.
No, I mean, whether he knows of me as a comic, I'm not really certain. Because my direct link to Eric Idle's brain is down now. You know, which is frustrating and hard to get someone to come in and fix it during the pandemic.
Right.
I'm not certain. I don't know. In fact, I may have met him at one time or other, but I don't know. You know, life is long once you get into it.
Well, yes. Yeah, that's part of the beauty and part of the confusion of it all. Now, the opposite when it comes to entertainment of watching great Monty Python films, did you watch any of the impeachment?
I did. I was glued to it. Carried it in my pocket where I did chores. I did. And you know, Democrats are like old Cubs fans.
Yes, they are.
Part of being a Democrat is knowing sadness and disappointment. I think it was the whole thing has obviously been a sadness for the whole country, or those wise enough to figure it out. I mean, Mitch McConnell is just amazing. It's going to turn out like that. There's, you know, it's going to be like a Twilight episode. When he finally dies, his skin's going to peel back, and there's just like a robotic thing there. You know, he certainly can't be human, because to refuse to have the hearings begin promptly, and sort of so the time where they could have the impeachment hearings was, you know, move forward and move forward and move forward. And then finally, so then he says, okay, no, he votes no, he votes to acquit, he votes to acquit, and then make a speech where he goes, yeah, you know, it's a shame we didn't have enough time.
And the Democrats are so, well, so consistent. Before it was, well, we're in the minority, what can we do? Well, now we've got the majority, but, you know, we don't want to really be too overbearing. We may have stayed at the party too long, so we'll let them get what they want.
Yeah, well, it's a majority, but it's certainly not an overwhelming majority either. And so there is some, I mean, I'm not an expert on any of this, but... Am I correct? Have you guys, because you guys are in the media, you would know more than I know. Did the Republicans go into the meeting when they were talking about having witnesses and say they would hold up the nomination of Biden's cabinet?
Well, it sounds like they suggested that they would hold that up, and that they would hold up any COVID relief.
Yeah. Yeah. It, you know, I think that when you're a human being with a heart and a brain, to some degree, like, okay, it would be like in Jurassic Park, where as a viewer, you're watching and you're watching the human beings be chased by the dinosaurs, and every now and then they stop and they just look at the dinosaurs for a second. And as a viewer, you're like, get moving, run, what do you do, run? And I think for the Democrats and the Republicans, you go to a meeting like that, and the Democrats must just stand there for a second and stare at the Republicans and go, wow. we didn't know anybody could sink that low. Wow. Yeah.
But see, now you've put a great image in my head of McConnell and maybe Rand Paul and Ted Cruz being eaten by a Tyrannosaurus Rex. So I like that thought.
No, it's the other way around. They are the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
There's that, too. There's that, too.
Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you something. When I was in the sixth grade, I ran for class president. And the hardest thing about sixth grade politics is that there are no issues. I mean, the truth is, even when you come to power, no one turns to the sixth grade class president to make any decisions about anything.
Did you promise better hot lunches or anything like that?
No, it's a powerless, you're a figurehead. And so it makes your speech a little thin. So I wrote a speech in my sixth grade class wherein I said, if I was elected sixth grade president of my class in the sixth grade, that I would get the school to give us a soda machine. And a couple of other students made the same claim, I think, after me. They copied me. a couple of campaigners, made a similar claim. And so Mrs. McKenna took us aside afterwards, and she said, you guys, actually, you wouldn't be able to do that. That would not be within your power to do. And so you can't say that in your speech. Which just gives you no, it makes, apparently adult politics works different. It was no kind of training for what we were to learn later on in life.
Did you win?
No, Amy Hayes won, and they offered me the vice presidency, which I thought was kind of throwing me a bone. I thought, what are the odds of a sixth grader being assassinated? No, Amy Hayes won. Former President Trump, wherever you are, this is what happened. Amy Hayes won. The counts were in. The announcement was made. And I went home on the school bus, as did the other children. When I got home, I cried. And when I came back to school the next day, Amy Hayes remained the class president. That's how it works.
Where's she today, though?
I don't know. At one point, she lived, I think, in Colorado and did a lot of skiing. I think Amy Hayes did very well for herself. Apparently, that sixth grade class president thing is really a launching pad.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Paula Poundstone, visit her website. Check out those wonderful videos. Listen to the podcast. Be a nobody like me and listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. The website, paulapoundstone.com. Paula, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for making a little time for us today, and good luck working those abs around those pesky cats.
Oh, thanks so much. It was fun. Hey, everybody, remember the 6 feet thing. I tend to forget.
A good
idea.
You know,
I'm a mask wearer, a double mask now, but I have to confess, I forget the 6 feet sometimes.
Do them both. Do the right thing. Thank you, Paula.
All right. Take care, guys. Thanks so much.
Paula Poundstone, always a treat when she visits with us here on Downtown.